welcome back to our Book of Boba Fett review. We're back with Chapter 4 of the Book of Boba Fett. I'm here. I'm your host, Brayden Ledbetter.
Chapter 4.
Oh, look at us right here in this weird... we're never like this. Look at this. Oh, there we go. Look at us. Zooming in and out.
I know. I was saying it. I was like, what are you talking about? And then I was like, you moved it.
Well, hi, Jackson.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm hanging out. How are you?
Is that the COVID?
No, actually, I'm past that. That's
that's good.
Something else.
Anyway. Illegal substances. Dude, I really dug this episode.
This has been my favorite Star Wars thing Bryce Dallas Howard has done.
Yeah, you directed this one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this one.
It was really fun. I'm really glad we got we had some questions answered in this one. I was really happy about that. And a little bit of a tease there at the end, but we'll get into it. We'll get into all of it. Don't worry, everybody. If you're not aware, this is a full spoiler heavy review. So if you haven't watched the episode,
get out of here.
Go watch it.
Or stay. You can do whatever you want.
Or you can stay.
It's going to be ruined.
Yeah, that's very, very true. But anyway, I think it's time we just dive in. It's a 50-minute episode. So, you know, it might take a little bit longer to get through, but that's all right. So obviously we open up back here. We're at the beginning. We're at the back to take tank like we always are.
Back to dreams.
And how do you feel about the transition they use to flashback with like the Matrix green? How do you feel about that? Because so, I always like get like an ick looking I'm at here, it.
When I watch this show, it's either in my living room or it's on my 4K monitor. Mm-hmm. But I have a 4K like gaming monitor, which is like the pixels work different. So it's not as like pretty. Yep. So when it does it, it goes full like night vision mode. And like, that's what it looks like to me. It's all like gross and pixelated. It was all right. Yep. I did have a thought watching this episode, realizing like, what if the first three episodes were just like leading up to was everything that we've seen flashback wise, but like there was no dream. It was just like the show. I guess we don't know what the dreams, you know, like why is that important to him? Because other than it just being memories and dreams, it's obviously something to him. Like it's the lessons he's learning, I guess.
I think they're kind of like, I think I said this before, but kind of like core memory-ish.
Yeah, yeah, you know? I get that. And I guess like his line when he says it in the first episode, like it gives me like they're haunting him kind of dreams. And it's like, what happened? But everything we've seen, I don't know, besides the Tuskens being killed, I don't know if... too much of it has been horribly traumatizing. I don't know. Almost getting eaten twice.
I know. Dude, let me tell you about this episode. Because at the beginning of this episode, I was like, oh, they're just going to like, you know, Boba's going to meet Fennec and they're going to find Slave One. And I was like, yeah, that'll be about it. And I was kind of right. And then we got a lot of cool little nuggets in there. And I was like, oh, thank God. It's not just like just everything we know of just like, okay, they meet and they kind of get together.
Action sequence and it's done. Yeah. Like, yeah.
What I thought was really cool was the sequence when, okay, so we see that, you know, Boba runs across Fennec and we get this kind of that whole Mando season one sequence that we already know.
Yeah, can I make a quick anecdote about that?
Yeah, dude.
I cannot believe that Boba just was chilling on Tatooine, not ready to get his ship, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I guess I understand is that he needed the ship in order to go look for the armor, but like... he was there for like 5 years, just like chilling. Like, I think it's interesting.
Yeah, you would think that, like, that would be one of his first objectives, yeah, to get off, like, Tatooine. Like,
he should completely understand how Jabba's palace works, like pulling up and being like, hey, it's me, Boba. Like, Fennec made a good point of like, why didn't you just show up? And he's like, I'm not as intimidating without my armor. And I'm like, yeah, I guess, but like, you could prove that you're Boba. Only things that Bib, Jabba, and Boba would know, you know?
Yeah,
so I just thought it was funny that it was like, you know, the flares, the scene where, you know, he first finds Fennec. I was like, what's going on? And then I realized it was that. And I was like, so he's just been chilling. He's just been friends with this Bantha the whole time.
And there's a really funny thing he says later on with a Bantha. I thought that was kind of like, it didn't really like put me off. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, it wasn't really bother like me. Ruining. It was just, I thought that was so interesting that like that was the explanation, is that like during this whole time he's just been hanging out on Tatooine. And then I guess he gets word that Fennec must tell him that, like, I wonder if they'll explain him. I wonder if they'll bring back Cobb Vanth, if they'll like show him.
I think that would be cool.
I think that'd be really cool. Is you could totally have an episode where Cobb fights Boba Fett.
It'd be kind of cool if like Cobb kind of like fights him off and he doesn't end up getting the armor.
Right. Like,
that would be kind of cool to see. I wonder. Well, let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Let's kind of just.
I needed to ramble all my thoughts to you.
Yeah. But when it comes to like, you know, finding Fennec at the beginning, and then he kind of takes her to this, they called it a mod parlor, and it kind of reminded me of like a weird Matrix-y tattoo shop or something like that. It's like only appointments, no walk-ins.
I expected to see like Babu Frick like walking in and be like, who?
Yeah, that would have been really funny. That would have been kind of fun.
They don't.
It was Babu.
I think it's interesting that Tatooine is like doing this whole cybernetic enhancement thing. Have we seen that in Star Wars before?
I mean, yeah, we have.
Vader. Besides, but I mean more on the sense of like, I know that was a dumb question now that I realize it, but like in the sense of like even his gang of like.
No, yeah, I get what you mean.
Enhancing themselves, you know, like the Deus Ex Machina kind of thing.
Like not for the purpose of necessity, but for the purpose of, oh, this is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I did realize you were like Peter, and I was like, oh, yeah.
That was the first thing in my mind.
So I think it's interesting that Tatooine is advancing in that.
Yeah, and we're also seeing like a different part of like even just the Star Wars universe of like these more underground type of, you know, people and places, and we're like, we've never seen like characters like this in Star Wars before because they're very. I kept thinking like, these characters are kind of like Blade Runner-y characters.
Yes, great. Yes, I completely agree.
Yeah, I was like, I don't hate it, but it's just like we've never seen this side of Star Wars before.
I dig it because I like that they're pushing weird to a specific like boundary, you know? Like Star Wars has been weird before, but it's like they're trying new things with being weird, and I really dig that.
Sorry, my mic got muted. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, sorry, little technical mishap. But I'm glad we're kind of taking these chances in this show a lot. Yeah. Because I feel like there are a good amount of Star Wars I'm more referring to The Mandalorian that I feel like sometimes like they have an idea and they're about to go with it, and it's just like, oh no, we got to play it safe. Like, I'm glad it doesn't do that here.
Yes.
But kind of one thing that was just like kind of funny to me was the first thing I said when they started like putting all these mods in Fennec, I was like, ah, she's more machine now than woman.
I love the Fennec content in this episode.
I think for some reason, just this episode, I think Ming-Na Wen's performance was kind of iffy on me.
Oh, really?
I thought so. Yeah.
I thought this was,
I think I, that I think it was the dialogue she was given was kind of like cliche.
I kind of agree with that in the like the conversation they have waiting for the drone, the droid to come back, the like spy ball. I agree. Like it was kind of blocky and it kind of felt like she phoned it in, but I thought her like when they're taking the ship, I thought like her delivery was really, she was really fun during those moments. I love it when Fennec just absolutely caps people.
It's
love it's so with cool. Without a fail, just so casual. Just, I absolutely adore it. So I thought that she did really good at, you know, kind of showing that and then giving some quippy line and the yeah, next
for
time.
For some reason, it the dialogue felt very George.
Yes.
So, at sometimes, and I'm just like, ugh, okay. And like, it's nothing again. Like, it doesn't make me hate the character or anything like that. It's just like some lines in this episode. I was like, eh, see, I kind of thought that.
I like that. I like that weird kind of like blocky Shakespearean talk that people in Star Wars have. I think that's just a fun like quirk of it. That like, yeah, it's they all have laser. Not all. They have laser swords, and there's, you know,
and they shoot lasers out of their guns.
Everyone kind of talks weird, but sometimes they talk normal. And there's a lot of British people involved, but.
I like that they're also just like allowing the Star Wars universe to just reflect our world.
Yeah.
At this point,
yeah.
They're just like, you know what? Why
even try? I thought that last episode when they're talking about the price of water, and I went, ah, yes, capitalism in the Star Wars universe.
Gas prices in Star Wars. But kind of moving on here, what did you think about this whole plan to take? Jabba instead of Boba. I don't know why. Get Boba's ship back. What did you think about this whole like the little ball droid thing?
This goes back to my thing of like Boba's just been chilling because like the plan was kind of easy. Like Greg and like I thought it was cool seeing like the gear. I had this thought watching it. The gear Fennec has, because what we've seen of Fennec is that she's just a really good shot. And like in Bad Batch, she's just got action sequences, you know, like there isn't a lot of like the tacticalness about it. And I felt we got introduced to that in this episode.
I like the whole Mission Impossible angle of
like I thought it was fun. Like, let's sneak in and like, you know, scan that many guards. I don't know how I feel about the kitchen scene.
Dude, I love that scene. I love the little chef droids.
See, you're talking
about, I will contact the rat catcher.
Yeah. The way they just discuss to each other.
Yeah, I love that so much. I completely agree with RFB here that Star Wars is best when it's told weird. Absolutely. I completely agree with that. I think that's what makes Star Wars so cool. Yeah. Is that it can be weird, and that's what makes it so good. Yeah, I love the little chef guy, and I love the little dude who's running around with the net that came in. Isn't that kind of droid in the animated stuff?
I recognized it from something, but I don't know exactly. Maybe like
somebody knows.
I wonder if it's in Resistance.
I think it's in maybe Clone Wars or Rebels.
Well, and the first droid that was Stew in the pot. What else was he? Was he originally with Jabba's palace?
I could not tell you.
Is that droid? So I feel like we saw it somewhere. It's somewhere else, but I don't know if it's a Jabba's palace droid or if it was just something else, like a background droid, you know? Yeah. I was like the dude that they pulled the throwback 2005 Star Wars Battlefront playing a Jabba's palace map. And there's the dude that they're pulling.
Yeah. Yeah. I also kind of liked that. That weird metal slicer thing that Fennec was using to like get through the
I thought it was like an acid at first, and then I realized like no, it's
like a little like a electric blade. Knife.
Thing? Yeah, it's yeah. I don't know. Going back, I liked seeing Fennec's tacticalness and her gear and you asked me what I thought about the plan, and I gotta tell you, I cannot believe it was that easy just to walk in and Boba's been scoping it out for the last like half decade.
I know, it's crazy, and I kind of love it
because, like it's like, funny, he's just like, I don't know if I can do it
and it's just like
armor,
like, I think it would be annoying if it was like a big, hard, like, in-depth plan. I'm glad it was just like,
let's just sneak in.
Them kind of just sneaking in.
Let's go see what's up.
Cause that is so Star Wars though, because like, Han and Leia and Luke never had an in-depth plan. They just went for it and hope that they made it. And they usually did. So yeah, I think a lot of stuff in this episode worked for me, which I was very happy about. One moment I did want to talk about those before they sneak into the palace and Boba's letting the Bantha go. He's like, go make Bantha baby Banthas.
Roam the Dune Sea.
Yeah, I love that part.
I really enjoy this show at treating Star Wars animals with kindness. Mm-hmm. And like, well, giving, you know, yeah, obviously, but like, I'm glad that like they're just doing that in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. When it's like compared to like Fallen Order, where that's half the game is just slaughtering
the only thing in the game is just slaughtering.
The point is that the Jedi hate animals and bounty hunters are PETA.
Yeah, kind of like going off for a second, but I tried to play Fallen Order again not too long ago, and I couldn't do it.
Really?
I couldn't do it. Trying to kill all these, like,
hunt the frogs and
yeah, I just, for some reason, like, I was just like, why am I doing this? This like doesn't even feel right. Yeah, but we got the little guy with the net that he's running around chasing in the little kitchen or whatever that was. Yeah. And then I was kind of, I don't know if you agree with this, but the scene where they're trying to, you know, break out Boba's ship and Fennec is kind of fighting with all those like the guards and stuff, I kind of found myself getting bored by the action. And I think it was because it was so repetitive.
I agree. And I think for me, I got bored because I understood like the next thing that needed to happen was to open the door, and it took like 7 minutes to get to,
yeah,
for them to realize that, and Boba spinning around and crushing things. And I was just like,
I was like, okay, dude, guys, just like, get the door open. Well,
I think to a point that was intended, because like even Fennec is like, all right, like, let's wrap this up. like next time we stick to the plan, or you know, she kept telling him to like, let's figure it out, let's go. And yeah, I agree. It didn't need to be as long as it was, but like, I think that was the biggest action sequence of the whole.
Yeah, and it didn't episode, you know, so. It didn't ruin the episode or anything me. But it was just like something I was like, okay.
Like, you know, you didn't want to open the gate first. You just tried to gun it for the ship and get out.
Right. And I love how as soon as they did escape and they kind of like, you know, get the ship out into the night, their first Boba's first order of business is to go attack that biker gang.
Honestly, best shots of the whole episode.
So cool.
The stills of that are really nice. You know, I going back to that, when Fennec and Boba have their meeting by the fire, and he's like, I want to start my own family, and Fennec goes, the Tuskens made you soft. I said it out loud. I went, I don't know. You kind of just watched him slaughter a whole gang of Nikos. Like,
that is such a such a frat boy line too.
Yeah. The Tuskens made you soft,
dude. Bro, those Tuskens made you soft.
You changed, bro. That Sarlacc pit did you dirty, bro.
Yeah, I thought that scene was great. And you know, obviously before the scene before that, I think is for me was one of the highlights of the episode, because I was like, what's gonna happen here? Whenever they go into the Sarlacc pit with the ship, that was crazy, like, dude.
Are we gonna kiss?
Yeah, well, like, I figured he would just like start shooting into the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
And then he was like, no, we're going to get my armor. I was like, wait, how is this going to work? Cause like, I didn't expect that the ship would be able to like lean like down tilt, into
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck, dude?
Do you think Fennec knew what that button did? Do you think she just got lucky that like she pressed the bomb button? I got so stressed out. It just tumbling into the Sarlacc.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't even think about the fact that she wouldn't have known the button.
And was like, I'm going to press that one.
That didn't even come across my mind that she wouldn't have known where that button is. Because I think I was just so like focused on the moment.
The jump scare made me like leap out of my chair.
Yeah, and I
knew it was gonna happen.
I'm really glad that they're kind of letting. So I think that look of the Sarlacc pit is a special edition look, of like the whole like the Venus flytrap looking thing with the tentacles. Yeah. I think that's one of the special edition, like one of the 97 like early special edition looks. And with it just having like the hole with the teeth is like the OG Star Wars.
Oh, look. So it's
so both. They kind of married the two to where like they can both make sense together. Like
there's like I've seen encyclopedia pictures of like what a Sarlacc looks like, and essentially like you're right. Is that like it is both like the top of the hole and like this whole like giant. It essentially has a really long esophagus and then it like stomachs up in the bottom, but it roots out like a plant. So I like seeing that in live action, the both different sides of that of or live action, but like
no, I know what you mean. Like I'm glad they're marrying both the special edition and the, you know, the OG version to where like they both are there and make sense. And
I appreciate getting a deep look of the Sarlacc, especially in modern day. Like that's such a cool thing to have to
it looks
to
so much
revisit
better
now. And see how cool and like in depth, because that was always the thing with Return of the Jedi is like, what is a Sarlacc? Like where what is that thing? And it's just a hole in the ground or what? Like it's obviously it's got a thing in it, but So no, I agree. I'm trying to think any other thoughts that I had during this.
The seismic charge bit was so cool.
It stressed me out. I was worried it was gonna like affect the ship, but
I was kind of worried that they were gonna like it was going to go off too early or something.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying is that like, it just dropped out and I was like, how is Fennec going to use like, how did she even know?
I live for that sound effect though.
It is right.
It like scratches an itch on my brain.
I like seeing it used in different instances. Cause like the very first time it's in an asteroid field. Whereas the second time with Mandalorian season two, it's the TIE fighters. And this, it's like, it's underground now. Like this is what it looks like. I like seeing the different instances of what it can look like.
And I'm glad that Boba got his revenge on the Sarlacc pit too.
I know I gave a good riddance when it happened.
Yeah. It's because you can tell that Boba was like much better.
Much better.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the modern day stuff. Cause funny enough, I think it was funny that the flashback ended and I was like, there's probably like 6 minutes left.
I thought the episode was going to end right there.
I know. It was like, there's 13 minutes left. Like that, not a lot can happen. And was I wrong?
One thing I did before we jump too far ahead. One thing I did want to mention was a quote that I heard that I was like, that's kind of cool is, he's talking about whenever they're on the campfire scene and he's talking about like the old Tatooine, like sand people tribe. And he's like, you can only get so far without a tribe. And I think that's a good kind of, you know, we talk about Boba learning all these lessons. This is this kind of thing where he can't do everything by himself, which is why, you know, he has like a Fennec now. And he's trying to get all these people on his side. Cause he's starting to realize I can't do all of this
alone.
Yeah.
Well, and brilliant segue to him going off and hiring Kersantan.
Yeah.
Do you think Kersantan's going to stay for the whole time?
I don't know. Do
you think Kersantan's going to die in this show?
If he does, I'll be like, fine.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a comic thing. Like, he's more into that. But, like, I think it'd be cool. I love that they've... I love that they've introduced this character. And,
I'm so glad. I said this before, but I'm going to keep saying it. I'm so glad they're introducing comic things into these shows and letting it all tie together and like giving you an incentive for reading the comics.
Yeah.
It's so nice. Anyway.
A side note to that as well. I've seen people talk about that this show might introduce Aphra to the live action.
Ooh, Dr. Aphra,
And essentially the protocol droid that they get is her evil 3PO.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what her droids are called. But the two things that they need like match the needs of what Aphra has. And it's just like, what if she joined? Like, that's how she joined live action. Honestly, I think that'd be cool.
That'd be sick, yeah.
Especially with Kersantan, because I think he is more of a Dr. Aphra like character. He's around in that. I'm thinking about like who are other people that could join, because all right, I think Mando's gonna start doing the same thing with his creed. he's going to start building another. Yeah. And like, technically he's king of Mandalore. So I kind of wonder if like, he'll just do that as like bringing in the Mandalorians. But like, I kind of thought like, you know, Cobb, Boba, Fennec, Boba, you know?
Yeah.
And, I'm blanking on her name. Redhead, sister, Satine, Bo-Katan. Thank you. Anyway, I think it's interesting that like Boba's kind of doing it himself too. Like he's building his criminal empire, and it's just like the people he deems kind of worthy and successful that like, it'll be cool seeing a later game thing where it's like Boba and Mando have to do something and Boba's like, oh, let me send some people on it because like, I'm a crime lord now. Mm-hmm. Like I can do that. Like, yeah. I like witnessing this beginning of it.
Yeah. I think, you know, you still got three episodes to expand on that. So I'm really excited. One thing I did want to talk about was the whole Chris Anshin like wrecking those Trandoshans.
Yeah.
Dude, the Trandoshans look so good live action.
I do really like
it. They look great. I'm glad that like they found a happy medium for those Trandoshans because they've kind of just been like, I think in was it Return of the Jedi or Empire where Bosk is just like a statue.
It's Empire. He's not in Return of the Jedi.
That's what it is. Yeah. I'm so glad they found a way to, you know, make Trandoshans actually look good. Cause I was like, oh, poor little Trandoshan whenever he rips the arm off. And that's a good echo back to Chewbacca.
I totally forgot about that. I gasped. I yelled out loud when he did it. Cause I was like, Chris Anshin doesn't give an F. Like Chris Anshin does not care.
And that's it's a callback to Chewbacca in the cantina.
Totally. Like crossed the threshold of my love for Chris Anshin. Like that, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about this ending meeting scene with all of these different crime syndicates, kind of like on Tatooine, like the people who worked for Jabba.
Right.
What did you think about the whole? Because like for me, it kind of felt like Bo was just like, I'll rule with respect. But I think I'm gonna rule with fear first, and like the Rancor, you know, comes up.
Oh yeah,
I was like, nah, I think I'll rule with fear.
I think I'll play a little joke. Yeah, I loved his little. I think he's a little hungry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me, this meeting, it took a turn that I really liked. That I kind of hope plays out is that Boba taking the task to take on the Pikes himself and like going through with it. I think that's going to be kind of his step into really, really delving into this. And I almost don't think like the other crime bosses like will intervene at all, is that they just are kind of like, yeah, Boba, you do your thing, start a war or whatever. Do you think any of them will turn?
Yeah, I don't know. I
think it's the Trandoshans.
I think at least one of them, because that's got to be like, I think that's going to be one of the big conflicts, like towards like these last three episodes here.
Yeah.
Are like,
it's like,
you know, he begs for all this loyalty and he doesn't get that.
Yeah. Well, so what is the species that they were kind of like, ooh, will he say yes or not? The blue dude or the green dude with like the purple like Dracula cape.
Oh man.
I don't know what they're called, but
it's the same species I believe as Shizor from Shadows of the Empire. I believe. I could be wrong.
I'm not gonna look it up.
I don't think it's that important.
But anyway, I don't think it'll be them. I think they will stay loyal.
The Trandoshans is a good bet.
Aqualish is I think They're like, they're not going to do it.
I think we will see a double cross of some kind or of, you know, Boba. And kind of at the end there, Fennec has this line, credits can buy muscle. And then we hear the Mando theme before we cut to credits.
I cheered.
I think we're getting Mando. Dude.
I told you Mando's going to be in it. I'm so still sure. Convinced it's his voice in the very first trailer. that he's talking, I think it's him. Like, there's a line of his, I think, like, kind of spliced in, you know? No, I definitely agree. Like, I think Mando's totally going to show up.
Yeah, I think it'll be like an episode thing. Like, it's not going to be like,
it's going to be an Ahsoka season. Tano kind of cameo.
Yeah, it's going to be like, here's the Mando episode.
Yeah, absolutely. So, my question is, how do you think Mando is going to be post Grogu? This is the first time we've seen him.
What if he's like a lot more like ruthless?
Post-Grogu. That's kind of cool.
Cause I feel like Grogu kind of like grounded him in like the way he did things. And like, he kind of had a little bit more like of a reason to fight.
And do you think that because he's gone back, or he has like, it has kind of like turned him emo, you know? Like, yeah, I guess what I'm asking is like, is he kind of like, oh, the baby's gone, like I did it, like that sucks that he's gone, I'm sad that he's gone.
That would be, I'm like, sorry, that would be dumb.
I'm going back to my old
job. That was the case. I think it would have to affect him emotionally.
I think he's like crushed. All right, so there's been this Instagram lady named Kate Comics who's been making like a Mando like post season 2 comic about him dealing with Grogu, and it adds like this, there's like a, like the Darksaber is kind of haunted, like it's cursed. But obviously that's not like whatever, but in it, Mando is a wreck about Grogu, and he's just, he cannot get over it, and any kind of mention to anything close to it like totally sets him off, and he's just like just kind of broken about it. So I am curious if that's going to be the case, you know, is that Mando is not doing well.
And I hope they go that route too, going forward with man, like this is kind of off book Boba Fett, but I hope they go that route with Mandalorian of, cause you just can't have two full seasons of just that relationship developing and building with Grogu.
And then what?
Like, Mando. Oh, it's the King of Mandalore. We're going to fight for our planet.
Then, yeah. And like, then he's yeah, just cool, not affected by it. Yeah, the next season, I think it has to be a huge toll and a big shadow over that season too.
Did he join Bo-Katan, or I guess he didn't necessarily expect Luke to show up to take Grogu. So I wonder what he's been doing this whole time.
Yeah. I think that'll be interesting to find out, because that's why I'm wondering, is Mando season 3 going to take place? Like, are we going to do a time jump?
I think it'll be kind of like an Empire Strikes Back time jump to
like
where
a year.
Like 3, because
the time between
movies is the time that happens.
You're right.
So by the time Mando season 3 comes out, it'll be like what? 3 years, two years since the end of season 2. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder who's been chilling with, who's been giving him rides.
Yeah, or how they're, because I think they're kind of destined to get in contact with Mando in this next season. I'm just wondering how they're going to do that, and you know, how they're going to get Mando back to Tatooine and all that kind of fun stuff.
Right, like, do we got to go pick him up? Like,
can somebody order an Uber for Mando, please?
Mando, we need your help. He's like, cool guys, I'm down.
Yeah.
But
I'm gonna need a ride.
I'll do it for a little less, like 10% less.
Yeah.
And if you pick me up.
Yeah. Well, cool. I think if you don't have any more closing thoughts about this week's episode.
I guess I'll just say, like, I was really happy with this episode. I really like the steps they're going with the like modern side, the whole crime boss stuff. I really like that, but I am absolutely in love with the flashbacks. Like, that is just, so far to me, that has been my favorite aspect of the show is that story they're telling of Boba just catching up. I cannot believe. Hi, doggy.
Yeah, it's Murphy.
Cannot believe he's just been chilling for 5 years, but like, I still,
and there's a reason, there's gotta be a reason why it's called the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, right.
Chapters of his life.
There's a middle section where Boba just like hangs out at campfires a lot with his giant dog, but it's cute, like it's fun.
I got a cute giant dog right here.
You do got a cute giant dog. Look at that little bantha.
Yeah. All right, buddy. All right, well,
cool.
I think my closing thoughts, I echo your sentiment. And, you know, I think we're in for a pretty fun episode next week. Hopefully, fingers crossed, I'm going to set down my expects, as RFB would like to say.
I don't think we've seen anything past this trailer-wise, too. I think everything that we've seen
everything
from here on up. Yep.
I think there's a reason for that, too.
They always do. The good stuff.
Yep.
For Christmas. Well,
if you'd like to find us on the social medias, as always, you can do that on Instagram at Through Imperial Eyes Pod, podcast pod. I don't remember at this point. Twitter at Imperial Eyes Pod, and on YouTube Through Imperial Eyes Podcast. Jackson, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter. That's at Quaxon Scalene. It's Quaxson, and then scaling like the triangle. And then you can follow me on my photography Instagram, which is at Daleen Photography, Daleen _ photography. Braden, what about you?
And as always, you can find me on Instagram at Braden Ledbetter, on Twitter at Braydathlon, and see what I'm watching, see what I'm reviewing on Letterboxd at B Ledbetter. And if you want to check me out on my video work and video world, you can check out what I'm doing over at Vet19 on YouTube.
What have you watched recently?
What have I watched recently?
What's your last watch?
I just watched, this isn't Star Wars related, but I did just watch a movie called Spree on Hulu. Spree. With Joe Keery. To put it into a little bit of words, there's this kind of rideshare driver who's like really thirsty for followers. Like, you know, he like does like Uber, but it's called Spree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he like he's been doing like social media for like 10 years and has never gained a following. And he's finally figures out this plan to go viral, and that's by killing his passengers, like murdering his passengers. Social media like completely embraces it, and like he goes viral, and like it's kind of cool,
kind of Black Mirror-y,
and it's like. shot through like cell phone screens and laptops.
Oh, that's fun. Like those kind of cameras. like brought it, so it's like a found footage style
kind of. Yeah, like have you ever seen the movie Searching?
I know of it, but I know what you're talking about.
It's kind of like that. Yeah, yeah. Okay, it's cool. You, like any kind of angle you see is on like either one of his cameras or his phone. Or
that's really cool. That's interesting.
It's really fun.
I might check that out.
I recommend it. I still
haven't seen Spider-Man.
You know, you don't know the spoilers or anything, or you do?
I know at least that they're in it, but I think one thing got spoiled for me, but I'm going to wait till I see it.
Yeah,
speak it into existence. I just need to go do it. That's the thing, is I just haven't been able to go do it.
Yeah. Well, go check that out. Well, also, if you guys have, you know, the Spotify, the Apple Podcast, please make sure to head over there and subscribe, rate, review. It really helps us out and lets us know that you like what we're doing. And if you don't like what we're doing, do that anyway and be like, yo, these guys suck. Give us one star. We would rather you do that than do nothing. And if you want to check us out, we might do a news episode if we can squeeze it in this week. If not, we'll definitely do one next week. I know we said we'd do one this week, but it's been kind of a weird week for me at least. And then we might have a little surprise coming this weekend for our 1 year podcast anniversary. Jackson, can you believe it's been 1 year since we've been talking into microphones about Star Wars? I feel
like it's been over a year. Like, it feels weird that
it feels like a bunch of time has passed, but no time has passed.
I thought we started it in February, but I guess we really did.
January. My launch date was January 21st. I remember making the logo.
How we've come.
How far we've come.
How we've come.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll be back next week for some more Book of Boba Fett talking, and we'll be we have a special episode coming out this weekend, hopefully. So look out for that.
Hopefully.
And until then, may the Force be with you all. With you.